Welcome to Next Gen Mentoring Forum. The Next Gen Mentoring Forum series is to empower, educate, and illuminate individuals who are in or interested in the financial planning profession. At each forum, an expert will discuss a topic in the field of financial planning with the purpose of inspiring critical thoughts and discussion. In today's session, I have the honor to have a returning guest, Dr. Kathleen Real, to provide us a wonderful legacy letter writing workshop. Let me go to the next page. All right. So my name is Dr. Jolly Jen. I'm an assistant professor and director of financial planning program at California Lutheran University. I'm a certified financial planner professional, maintaining an active financial planning practice, specializing in succession program management at Value Growth Institute. I'm honored today to have Dr. Kathleen Real return back. Dr. Real wrote an award-winning book, Moving Forward on Your Own, a financial guidebook for widows after the death of her late husband. More than 75,000 copies of the books are in circulation today. She owned Real Financial Advisors almost 18 years before retiring to 6 years encore career, empowering widows and their advisors through her speaking, writing, and doing research about widows. Her work has been featured in articles published by New York Times, Wall Street Journals, Kipling's, CNBC, USA Today, and many others. She happily retired on her 73rd birthday in 2020. Dr. Real and her new husband, Charlie, concentrated on the family fun and focus purpose, friends and fitness. And she enjoys writing legacy poetry and stories, plus assisting not-for-profits organization. So welcome back, Dr. Real. So happy to have you back here. I can't help to share one interesting story. That after our last interview, one of my very good friends, his mom passed away. And he didn't tell me about it until possibly 6 months afterwards. He was in my house one time and I didn't know how to help him. And I ended up buying your book. So I bought a copy of the book, sent over to his dad. His dad read it and he wrote it, read it too. Both of them were so happy that an expert like yourself were able to put something in words and helping, guiding them through it. Although they are still going through the grieving process and still haven't done much about it, but thank you to your book, they were able to recover as fast as they could. So thank you so much. And welcome back today. I'm going to stop sharing. I know that we have an exciting workshop that you're going to take us through. Okay, so unmute yourself first.
Yes, thank you. Get my screen up. And what we're going to do today is a little different than when I was here last time, because I'm going to take you through a workshop that I actually use with clients. I've presented at community foundations. I've been at lifelong learning centers, retirement facilities, and just take you through the experience of actually writing a legacy letter. So here we go. And thank you very much, Jolly, for facilitating this.
We're very, very blessed and grateful to have you here, because I know that so many people will benefit from it. As a matter of fact, my mom and I were having a conversation about this just recently. So I can't wait to get this recording to her so she can watch it.
Good. All right. Most of you probably have written your last will and testament. And because I don't really see any pictures, I just see names. I can't ask you to hold up your hand necessarily, but you probably have written this. And I hope that you've also written your advanced healthcare directives and financial power of attorney. But what is it that those things take care of doing for you? Well, it's passing on your stuff, your account at Vanguard, your house, your collectibles, your IRA account, all those things. It does a nice job of passing that on, but it doesn't do very much for passing on values, hopes, dreams, aspirations, that part of who you are. And most of us do want to be remembered by things more than just what was the value of our Vanguard IRA account. Well, today I want to talk about legacy writing and actually take you through a process that by the end of this session, if you care to write your own short legacy letter, you will have written this. And I want to read you the definition that I put up on the screen, that legacy writing helps communicate and preserve your stories, gratitude, values, life lessons learned, hopes, wisdoms, dreams, and blessings for the future generation. And this might be through letters or poetry or prose or other ways too. Everybody has some kind of a story that they want to sell, to tell. All right, I want you right now to think of some family member or a friend who passed on recently or years ago. And this would be someone who influenced you, who had an impact on your life in a special way. And of course, you all have a paper and pencil along with you because you're going to take notes during this session. I want you just to write that person's name down on the piece of paper. Don't do anything else with it for right now, but just write that person's name down, friend or otherwise. Now, for me, if I was doing this, I might write the name Nettie Green. Now, Nettie Green is the lady on the right-hand side of this picture. And this picture was taken on her wedding day in 1897. She was born in 1877, so she was 20 years old. And the fellow on the left, Jesse Green, that was her husband. So don't they look like such a happy couple on their wedding day? Well, they really were, I believe, but that was just the style back then, to be very, very stoic. Now, I don't have very many things left from my grandmother, but I certainly, if there have been times I've wanted to ask her so many questions, but I don't really know much about her. Like in the summertime, she ran a like a boarding house, and it was in Iowa, and folks from the city would come out to fish and to hunt and to be on the lake, and she ran this summer boarding house. She cooked for them, she did their laundry, she did all kinds of wonderful things for him. She was an entrepreneur, I think ahead of her time. And maybe that's where I got part of my entrepreneurial spirit from. This is the country school where she taught. She was a school teacher. She went through normal college, which was rather unusual for that time, but she only could teach for a couple of years because when she got married, the contract said her career was up. But while she did teach there in that school, she had a little bell. And it's the bell that she rang for the kids coming to reading and writing and arithmetic classes. And that was a special bell. Well, she had a daughter, Ruth, who was my grandmother. And that gal also went to normal school and became a school teacher and used that same little bell. Now, when I came along years later and my first career was, I was a public school teacher, and my grandma Ruth gave me the bell in honor of me teaching those first grade classes. So that was a very, very special lady in my life, but I wish I knew more about her, because someday I know some people might be sitting around and talking about great grandma Kathleen. And who was she? Well, we don't know very much about her, do we? So I want you to go back to that individual that you wrote down on your piece of paper, whoever that was, and just take a moment and write down one question that you would like to ask that person that you didn't get a chance to talk very much about? Or maybe you didn't even know them so well, but just write that question down. And just while you're writing that down, I am going to step out of the room, and there's another conversation going on. I'm going to stop that. Okay, back again. Is there anyone who is comfortable sharing what the name of the person was that they wrote down and what the question was that they'd like to ask?
I could share. Okay. So I wrote down my grandfather, who actually he migrated from very southern part of Taiwan to the very northern part of Taiwan, primarily to it's an area of the very back then it was gold, lots of gold being discovered there. So my questions for him was actually, how did he actually decided to move there and decided to stay and have so many children? And I often visit their old home, but never really got a chance to ask that question.
That would be an interesting response. All right, now I want to show you some sample legacy letters that are of a wide variety, actually. But this was my mother. Now, mom passed in 2007. And before she died, she wrote a legacy letter. And her legacy letter started out like this. To you, my family, who are reading my legacy letter, please know how important you are to me and how much I love you. Life has been such a fascinating and interesting adventure with you, my family being a big part of this journey. Now her letter continued it was just a page and a half long, but she talked about some of the family memories. She gave advice to some family members, including me. There's one part of it that says, you know, when you were younger, your dad and I were not really sure how things were going to turn out, but it worked out okay. She put a big emphasis on her love of family. And she knew, like, we had already started planning the following year's family reunion. We did these on alternate years. And she put in her legacy letter that she said, wherever I am, I'm going to help you to do that reunion. And it was a letter that she did not want to have read until during her memorial service, the activities following that. So we gathered the family around, we read that, and it was very, very special. And, you know, I still pull that letter out a couple of times a year and reread her wisdom on it. And part of the times that we have our family gathering, like we did it in August, and there were folks who traveled from all around the country to be here with us. And the last night that we were together, we had a big bonfire. We made s'mores outside. And I read mom's legacy letter again to the group. And we all raised a cup of cocoa or wine or whatever it was that we were drinking and saluted mom. And also in part, mom was helping to facilitate that letter, because as part of her inheritance to me, she gave me a small IRA account. And she said, I hope you can use this to help with the gatherings. And so five family members' flights were purchased from mom's IRA account. So that was special. So mom's was an open letter. Yes, there's the emphasis on family. I wrote one for my son, Chilumba, open-ended. My dear son Chilumba, you are my miracle baby. For 4 years, I tried unsuccessfully to get pregnant. After testing, doctors said that was highly unlikely because of fertility problems. Your father and I even considered adoption. But in the fall of 1977, you miraculously started growing in my body. I was ecstatic. That was my opening paragraph to the letter that I wrote to my son. Very, very free form, not any particular format that I was following in this. And I'm now in the process of writing letters for my grandsons, who are very, very special to me. One lives in the Chicago area and the other one's in New York. When I did this workshop for a congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida, one of the gals said, "Oh my gosh, what you're talking about is like sharing values. That was my mom. She had this list of 13 things that were her rules for living. And you can see these on the screen. Encourage truth, home should be a place of harmony, love is good, debt is bad, and it goes on. And she said, that was so perfectly mom. And I wanted to do something with that. So what she did was she created this card front and back, which was used in the memorial service for her mother. And they did it in round robin reading. And she said it was just very, very powerful. Very, very good. All right, now I want to move to three concrete ways that you might consider writing a legacy letter. The first one is that free form letter that these examples that I gave you of my mom's and the letter that I'm writing for my son. It's just blank piece of paper and you just start writing anything you want to. That works for some people, but for some other people, it's a little intimidating. So there's another approach that I call check a box. And there's a little booklet like this, pictures on the screen. You can download it for free on my website. And I think Jolly is going to give you the link where you can get that. And there are sections in there that, just like the front says, your values, hopes, dreams, memories, and more. There are maybe 20 different sections. So for example, if I just turn to page 12, it's a section on lessons I've learned. Setting personal goals and I work toward these. I found it to be helpful to have a personal mission statement. My mission statement has been fill in the blanks. Or reflections, stay true to yourself and make your best efforts. Or something else, forgiveness. I apologize for the times I wasn't a parent you would have liked me to be. Please know that I really tried my best. So there's well over 100 of these statements in this little booklet. And the approach is you go through and you just check the box if that applies to you. And then you get to the end and all you do is just string those together, break them up into a few paragraphs, and you have got a draft of your legacy letter. And there's also on page 20, a section on different themes that you might want to add to it. So again, this is more of a formula kind of a program. Just check those boxes and then put them together. All right, now I want to spend more time on this quick five-part method, five steps. First of all, you think, who is this going to be written for? Is it for my family in general? Is it for my Aunt Tilly? Is it for the members of this group I'm part of? Who is it that this is going to be directed for? So it's who. The second part is a thank you statement, where you're acknowledging some sort of a gratitude for that individual or this group that you're writing for. Your third step, three things life has taught you. That's, I think in terms of that as life lessons that you've learned. The fourth one, what matters most, and that would be your values. And just another slide, I'll talk a little bit more about values. And then a closing, and that just might be how you sign off, or it might be a poem, or it might be a picture or something special that is important to you. So what does that look like? With a values section, these are several values that are on various inventories. They might be some of the values that you would recognize when you write about your values section. All right, so now I want to show you what those five steps look like in a legacy letter that I wrote earlier this year. Dear family and friends, all right, that's who it's for. Thank you. This is my gratitude statement now. Thank you for being a phenomenal blessing to me. Life wouldn't have meant much without you. Over the years, I've wished we lived closer, but we still stayed in touch and got together periodically. As I write my letter during this COVID-19 pandemic, I especially miss seeing you in person. All right, the third part, we're going to get life lessons here. Life has taught me a lot, including these three things. One, the more you give, the more you receive in return. Helping others results in rich rewards. I call this psychic income. 2. Education opens many doors. Earning a PhD and other advanced credentialing was worth the effort, bringing me interesting opportunities. I love learning new things. Perseverance and hard work pay off. I kept on keeping on, often reinventing myself to get where I wanted to be. Change was my mantra. All right, now we're into the fourth section. Thinking about what matters most, I know this has evolved over the years. Now in my refinement chapter, here's a little graphic with the top 5 values guiding my actions. And as Jolie said earlier, the 5 things for me that are important are family, fun, focus, purpose, friends, and fitness. And because I like art and graphics to explain things, I made a little graphic there. In closing, here's a favorite quote of mine. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And that's, of course, from The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. P.S. You'll find many legacy poems and stories I've written over the years in my separate notebook. Hope you enjoy them. I will love you forever, Kathleen, Mom, Grandma. And I updated this the last time in January, and I usually once a year, and January is oftentimes the time that I do that, I update it.
May I have a question? Would it be possible?
Sure.
I'm curious about the writing the letter, and I actually have attempted to write one just recently. And I'm debating, should I do that electronically, or should I literally write it like this and then have it all printed out? So I wanted to get your opinion, because obviously my daughter's is in her 20s. I don't know if that even, whatever I write, will even be able to discover it and found somewhere. So what is your recommendation in terms of how do you go about giving the letter electronically or paper or print? What do you think?
Probably it's a matter of your style. When I start mine, I always do it in writing, and I've got a beautiful pink fountain pen that I love to write in. I write a lot of my articles and things. I start with it that way. Maybe it's my generation, but I start it that way. But then I put it into electronic. And like the stories and poems, like I made a reference in there to stories, poems, and letters. This is actually what the notebook looks like. It's all, you know, it's all written out. And I've got it in the notebook, but I've also got it in an electronic form because, well, my son is already, he knows about it. And he said, I want to be able to share this with other people. And so it's in this PDF form. So I've got it both ways. But when I'm just starting, maybe it's, I feel like I'm connecting with my heart more when I'm writing by hand, if that makes sense.
So it's more of your personal style than anything. And if someone willing to do a recording of the video, they could do that as well, obviously.
Oh, yes. And we'll, you know, I've got that later on in here. There are some people that don't like to write at all. They just video it. They talk it through.
Right.
Well, just a little note on this. You may recognize this if you were a Bambi fan. This was Thumper. And Thumper used to remind Bambi, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all. So your legacy letter is not supposed to be a lecture or scolding or punishment or any way to control somebody or a guilt trip. All right, so now it's your turn. Go back to that paper and pencil. And that quick 5-part method. Who, thank you. 3 things life taught me. For this exercise, I would suggest you just do one thing that life taught you. And what matters most, your values, perhaps just pick one and you can fill the others in later. And then in closing, and now this is going to be hard, but I'm going to give you several minutes to actually write this because I would like you to experience it and feel it. So,
and this could be anyone, not the one that we just pick. It could be someone that whoever we want to write to,
yes.
Basically. Got it.
Yes, yes. Anybody. It can be your daughter. It can be your next door neighbor. Who is this particular legacy letter going to be for?